coming up on Locked On Dodgers. We got the international signing period, which began, and the Dodgers made some signings. They announced them. We'll get into them. We'll then look at the past international signing period and see if there's anything that the Dodgers got before. And just a quick update on arbitration and what happened with the 10 Dodgers that were eligible for arbitration. That's what's on tap, so make sure to keep it Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans, welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. We are Locked On Dodgers, and this is the daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. You can find us wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. And subscribe in each of those places and never miss a day because you know we're not going to. If this is your first time listening or watching, I'm Vince Samperio. I'm usually joined by co-host Jeff Snyder. But Jeff has a special episode for you guys tomorrow where he's going to go solo. So I'm going to handle today's episode and go solo. Luckily for me, there's some actual Dodgers stuff to talk about. But before that, Jeff and I, we're both lifelong Dodger fans that cover the team currently, spent time in the press box, spent time in the locker room, spent time all over Dodger Stadium, and we're here every Monday through Friday to bring you about 30 minutes of Dodger talk. So if you haven't already checked us out, continue to check us out, and if you haven't told your friends and family about us, go ahead and do that. And let's get right into it. Before we get into the international signings, we'll just get into the Dodgers. They had 10 players that were eligible for arbitration. They settled with 9 of those 10 players before the deadline on Friday, with the one that they didn't settle with being Tony Gonsolin. And, you know, some guys got some pretty nice paydays. Julio Diaz got the biggest one. His final year of arbitration, he got $14.25 million, up from the $8 million he made last year. Walker Buehler got $8 million, even though he's not going to play this year, but, you know, that doesn't matter. Will Smith got $5.2 million. Dustin May got $1.6 million. Trace Thompson got around $1.5 million. And then Almonte, Gratterall, Evan Phillips, Caleb Ferguson all made just over $1 million. And that leaves Gonsolin. Gonsolin was, he filed at $3.4 million. The Dodgers filed at $3 million. And they didn't come to an agreement, obviously. So we'll see what happens here. The Dodgers, you know, they can still strike a deal before a potential arbitration hearing. We don't know when that hearing would be exactly. We know it's in a period from, I believe, the end of January to the middle of February, sometime in there. It's very possible that they strike a deal before that. It's also very possible that maybe the Dodgers are thinking about an extension with Gonsolin. Maybe, I don't know. You know, we haven't seen the Dodgers make long-term extensions with their young players before. We've seen them make kind of short-term or shorter extensions. You know, Walker Buehler got a 2-year extension a couple years ago that, you know, basically bought out an arbitration year. We've seen Austin Barnes, Chris Taylor, Max Muncy all sign I don't know if Muncy was 3 or 2, but they've all signed a couple year deals that bought out an extra arbitration year. So that's something the Dodgers could do. This is Gonsolin's first year in arbitration. You know, they could try to buy out that 1 year and see what happens. Or, you know, they could try to buy out that 1 year, lock him in for the next 2 years, and then, you know, kind of go from there. I don't think Tony Gonsolin's one where that would be in line for a long-term extension. While he did have a really good season last year, they still haven't seen him put together an entire season. And, you know, that's important when you're, unless it's a very cheap extension that buys out all his arbitration years and maybe adds another year at the end. I don't see them signing him to, you know, 4, 5, 6 plus year deal. But another nice little 2-year deal locks him in at, you know, whatever salary it is, guarantees Gonsolin some money. And that could be very possible. I, you know, for the most part, the Dodgers haven't really gone to arbitration hearings. It's a less than a handful of times the last, you know, ever since Friedman's taken over. And even before then, it wasn't that often either. The Dodgers, I believe, are a file and trial team, which means they won't actively argue against Tony Gonsolin getting $3.4 million, but they'll, you know, put in why they think he deserves $3 million and if it goes to arbitration. So all in all, it's not a big issue. You would, you know, the $400,000 difference doesn't seem like a lot. Because it doesn't seem like a lot, you would imagine that they work out a deal. And before, I think this used to bother me more than it did now. Now, there's been times the last, you know, I think Max Muncy might have been the most recent one where they didn't come to an agreement. The money difference wasn't that big. I think I even got a little upset or tweeted about it back then. And then they announced that they signed Max Muncy to, you know, a little extension. So we'll see what happens there. But, you know, that's all on the Dodgers front. Everybody else, you know, locked down. And, yeah, I don't think there was any large enough discrepancies between what we expected and what players got that makes any difference in terms of the luxury tax. So, you know, we'll continue to monitor that. But all signs point to that not being an issue at the moment, unless, like I said, they can find a trade partner for Blake Treinen, or unless they somehow trade some of these other guys. But I don't see that happening, but you never know. All right, so the international signing period, the Dodgers announced that they signed a handful of players. The exact number is 13 international free agents yesterday, headlined by shortstop Jhoindre Vargas, who was the number 3 overall prospect on the international list from MLB Pipeline. They also signed an outfielder, Arnaldo Lantigua, who ranks number 23. All in all, six right-handed pitchers, 5 shortstops, an outfielder, and a catcher. 6 out of the DR, 7 out of Venezuela. The Dodgers luxury tax, going over the luxury tax, hurt the Dodgers a little bit. They had $1 million less to spend than they did, and then they would have if they hadn't gone over the luxury tax. So those are the quick raw stats of it. We'll get into a couple of the guys and see, you know, what they're saying about him. Jeff and I, unfortunately, aren't international scouts. We don't really have too much on these guys. So a lot of what I will be talking about these guys comes from other sources or comes from what the Dodgers released. But either way, you guys are going to learn, because I'm also going to learn along with you. So before we get into that, let's talk about BetOnline. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline, your number one source for all your sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. BetOnline has all the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from pro football with the playoffs, you got basketball, all that covered at BetOnline. Check it out, MMA, all that kind of stuff. If you love sports podcasts, you can even find those at BetOnline as well. They're the fastest and easiest way to get all your betting info. So head to BetOnline.net on your laptop or mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, let's get into it. Like I mentioned, the Dodgers signed 13 players, the top one being number 3 on MLB Pipeline's international prospects list, Jhoindre Vargas, a shortstop. And here I'm just going to put what we get from Jesse Sanchez, who's the main guy for MLB in terms of international prospects, and what he had to say about Vargas. He said, quote, at 6'3", the long and lean Vargas will face questions about his ability to stay at shortstop, but the DR native already shows a quick first step, good hands, and instincts for the position. He'll stay in the middle of the infield for as long as he can, but his plus arm potential will serve him well if he transitions to third base in the future. At the plate, Vargas shows an advanced approach with the ability to hit for average. One of the top hitters in the class, he hits line drives to all fields and shows home run potential with the mechanically sound swing. He is expected to show more raw power and rack up extra base hits as he fills out his frame. So, I mean, that sounds good. 6'3", long, lean, you know, these guys are young. They'll grow into their bodies, definitely. And you never know. He could fill out a little bit thicker, maybe make a move to third base. He's only 17 years old. So, like I said, he right now he's 6'4", 175. You would imagine as he grows into it, you know, 6'4", might near that I don't know if he'll get up to 200, but, you know, might get into that 190 realm in terms of weight and, you know, be able to withstand the rigors of an MLB season. But 17 years old, most of these guys we're not going to see for at least 3-4 years, depending, you know, how fast they rise through the ranks. You know, it's funny because the Dodgers, you know, well, depending how you feel about Gavin Lux, you would say the Dodgers have a need at shortstop. And you know, signing all these guys obviously doesn't help with that because they're not going to be ready for at least a few years. But it, you know, does mean that these guys are lottery tickets essentially at this point. Some of the guys are, you know, better suited in terms of you can project a little more than before. And we'll get into like the past international signing period for the Dodgers and kind of see, you know, how hard it is. And maybe, you know, maybe if we're getting to a point where the Dodgers need to take a look at their international scouting department and see, you know, where are we not hitting with some of these guys? Where are we hitting with some of these guys and seeing what we can do? I guess the surprise for the Dodgers this year is that they didn't sign one of the top catchers. There was, I believe, yeah, two of the top four prospects on MLB Pipeline were catchers. Ethan Salas, actually the Padres signed him for over $5 million. So he, you know, the Dodgers couldn't even sign him if they wanted to, or if they could, if they did, they would have had to offer him less money. And then you had Alfredo Duno, catcher out of Venezuela. He was the number four prospect. So the Dodgers didn't get a catcher this time, but they've gotten catchers in the past. Obviously, you know, we know that Diego Cartaya is the top, one of the top prospects in the Dodgers farm system right now. He's a catcher. They had Jesus Galis last year, a couple years ago now that they signed him. So, you know, there's catchers coming up. And obviously, you know, the guy they traded to the Nationals, whose name is escaping me right now, but he was also an international prospect. So the Dodgers have done well at catcher. I don't know necessarily that they've done well at some of these other positions, but we'll see. Moving on to Arnaldo Lantigua, who was the other top 50 prospect the Dodgers signed. He was number 23 on MLB Pipeline. He's an outfielder, and this is what Jesse Sanchez had to say about him. He said, quote, a power-hitting outfielder from the Dominican Republic, Lantigua is big and strong now, and more strength could be on the way. His ability to make consistent contact and hit for power emerged in recent years. He continues to develop at a normal pace. He could turn into a middle-of-the-order bat in the future because of his offensive prowess. Lantigua can be overly aggressive in the batter's box and needs to be more patient at the plate, but he's working on strike zone recognition and fine-tuning his approach. Overall, he has a chance to stay in center field because of his speed and arm strength, but also profiles as a right fielder for those reasons. So, yeah, I mean, that's also sounds great. A power-hitting outfielder that can play center field that sits in the middle of your lineup. I mean, that's all you could ask for. Obviously, like I said, these guys are young. These guys might not pan out, but, you know, he's also 17 as well, 6'2", 200 pounds. So he's got a little bit more filled-out frame than Vargas did. And this guy is more built on power, where Vargas was more built on hitting for average and hit it, better hitter overall maybe. But yeah, so, you know, these two guys, good for the Dodgers. Like I said, 17 years old, we're probably not going to see them for 3 years, the earliest, more like 4, 5, 6 years, depending how they develop and if they develop. So yeah, I mean, it's exciting, obviously, to see these guys get signed. It's exciting for the Dodgers to have an influx of talent in their farm system. But again, we don't really know what these guys are going to do. It is interesting that most of the players, you know, Dominican Republic, Venezuela, the Dodgers mostly went from there. And that's usually where they go, I guess, is Venezuela, Dominican Republic, because there's not too much, you know, there you can get Cuba, Panama, DR, Venezuela, Spain, you know, there's different plays, Spain, Aruba, Colombia, you know, there's a lot of different, but the Dodgers for the most part have stuck to the DR in Venezuela. Obviously there's an occasional player from somewhere else. They've gone to the Asian market before. Obviously they've gone into the Mexican market before with Julio Diaz as they signed him, but that was kind of before these rules were kind of around in terms of, you know, how much money you can spend and who you can sign. So again, we're going to talk about them. I'm going to, you know, read the scouting reports on these guys, but we don't really know what these guys are going to turn into. We don't, you know if we'll ever see these guys in the major leagues, but it's young and talent infused into the Dodger organization. And hopefully that these guys do work out, because that would be ideal, obviously, for the Dodger situation and for everything else. So the rest of the names to kind of round out for the Dodgers, there's not too much scouting report on these guys since they're not, you know, highly known prospects. Eric Bautista, right-handed pitcher out of the DR. Anderson Jerez, right-handed pitcher out of the DR. Elias Medina, shortstop. Daniel Milcarek, both another shortstop out of the DR. Luis Carias, right-hander pitcher. Harold Gonzalez, shortstop. Javier Herrera, shortstop. Eduardo Quintero, catcher. Samuel Sanchez, righty. Jesus Tilero, righty. Robinson Ventura, righty. Those are all out of Venezuela. So like I said, we don't know too much about some of these other guys. They might be names that we see in the next few years if they develop, but can't really say for sure that we're going to see some of these guys. But let's look back and see, you know, what the Dodgers have done in the past and if that bodes well for some of these guys in terms of have the Dodgers done well in the past with international signings. So we'll get into that. First, let's talk about Built Bar, because today's episode is brought to you by those delicious Built Bars. If you're looking for a treat but don't want all the fat and calories, Built Bar has you covered. You just got through the holidays. Maybe you're starting your year trying to be a little bit better, trying to, you know, get back into a routine. Built Bars can help with that. They can, you know, help you with your routine in terms of maybe you start your day off with the Built Bar. They can help you out in terms of maybe you're getting a little bit hungry because you're getting back into that routine and you're not fully there yet. Built Bars can help you out there by being a perfect little snack. And guess what? The best part right now is you can get them in store. You couldn't get them in store before, depending where you were at. Now you can go to your local Sam's or Walmart and get you some Built Bars. They got 4-bar boxes. They got 13-bar boxes. Go get you a 4-bar box. Go try it out. They got great flavors, cookies and cream, double chocolate. They got coconut puffs. They got churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond, bunch of different flavors. Go try them out. Check them out. You know, Jeff and I have both purchased Built Bars with our own money, and you know, they're good. They serve the purpose that they're there for, depending on what and there's a lot of different purposes they can serve. So you can also get Built Bars at Built.com. But also, like I said, go to your nearest Sam's Club, go to your nearest Walmart, head to the pharmacy section and grab yourself some Built Bars, and you'll thank us after. Okay, thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day every day. Check out Locked On MLB Prospects with host Lindsey Crosby. He's bringing you... He might talk about some of these guys we've talked about, but go check him out. He's a prospect encyclopedia. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. All right. So, like, we talked about the Dodgers international signings for this year, but I did want to go back and kind of see what they've done in the past and see, you know, how they've done in the past. And it is a mixed bag, I guess would be the word. You know, you go back to last year's signings and these are a little bit tougher because, you know, they last year, these guys are all barely turning around 18. Nobody's really moving their way up. Last year, they did sign a lot more players. It was more volume than this year. So it doesn't help us too much to go back to that year. But we can go back to years past. We can go back to 2021 and that international signing period and who the Dodgers signed. And you got a list of guys led by Wilman Diaz and Jesús Galíz. Those were the two main ones out of that one. Both of those guys were, one's a catcher and Wilman was an infielder, a shortstop. Wilman was number 3 by MLB Pipeline that year. Was known for hitting pretty well and driving the ball the other way. He was a 6'2 shortstop who turned 17, so he's, you know, turning 19 now. And then Jesús Galíz was another catcher, Venezuelan catcher. Keber Ruiz finally came back to me, the catcher, the other catcher the Dodgers signed before. And he's a guy that was at the top of the list. He's the one I believe they stole from the Yankees. He was ranked number 8 overall that year by MLB Pipeline. And, you know, those guys have, you know, not necessarily become a top prospect yet, but they've moved their way up and they're in the Dodgers rankings and they've, you know, worked out fairly well so far. Jesús Galíz is currently number 24 by MLB Pipeline and Wilman's number 25 by MLB Pipeline. They're both 19 years old. So imagine if they had just drafted them out of high school, then they still fit into the Dodgers top 3. Another guy that they signed that year was Rein Doncon, middle infielder. He's right there with them, number 26 in terms of prospect. He actually played A-ball already. Galíz and Diaz haven't played above rookie league yet. But But again, that's even too short to go by, because some of these guys, it's going to take 3-4 years before we can even tell what the Dodgers got out of these guys. So let's go back to the 2018-2019 international signing period. And this one, you can, you know a little bit more about this class. The main one of that class was Diego Cartaya. We all know Diego Cartaya. He's a top prospect on the Dodgers organization. He's a top prospect in all of baseball. He's expected to be, you know, a very good major league catcher in the future. That future might come, you know, as early as this year, might come next year. I don't think it would. Ideally, it doesn't. You know, he makes his debut this year, next year, because that means he's on the right track and he's moving forward. The other guy they had is Jermin Rosario. And, you know, Jermin Rosario, he actually don't remember if he was part of the Dodgers top prospects. I want to say yes, but I might be wrong. No, he's not. So he hasn't worked his way up to the Dodgers prospects yet. But again, he's still young. You know, he was only 17 at the time too, so he's only about 20 now. The other guy from those, the one that stands out, we've had Hyun Il Choi. He was the Dodgers minor league pitcher of the year a couple years ago. He didn't throw that hard. He had some good changeup, if I remember correctly. I don't know if he's a guy that's actually ever going to make his way up into the Dodgers. He's not in the Dodgers top 30 prospects, so I don't believe that. But another guy, Jose Ramos, he's a guy that you might have heard of before. They signed him out of Panama. He's currently number 8 in the Dodgers top prospects, an outfielder, and he's 22 years old, so he might find his way to the team next year. But yeah, he's a guy that's definitely worked out for them. Other than that, there wasn't too much from that year in terms of guys that have worked their way up. So let's go back a little bit further now, 2015-26. So the signing period used to be in July. So, you know, the years used to be 2015-2016. Now the signing period is in January. So now it's easier to keep track of the years. But yeah, this one's going to, the 2015-2016 is going to hurt for a variety of reasons. One of those reasons is that they spent a lot of money and haven't got much back, or actually haven't got anything back from it. They signed Yadier Alvarez that year with the $16 million signing bonus. This was before that they limited it. And obviously that didn't work out. Alvarez has had a variety of issues with the Dodgers, has never really worked out, or has never really worked out. And I don't know if he'll ever pitch in the major leagues unless something wild happens in his career. They had Starling Heredia, who got $2.6 million that year. They had Ronnie Brito, who got $2 million that year. Those guys, you know, haven't worked out either, or didn't work out. So, you know, that didn't go very well. And then Omar Estevez and Yusnel Diaz. Yusnel Diaz was part of the Manny Machado trade, so I guess that worked out a little bit. But Omar Estevez never quite worked out either. Yeah, that one was tough. But the biggest one from that one, it ended up being the biggest one, was a guy that they didn't even keep. They signed Yordan Alvarez that year to a $2 million deal. And let me read what it says right here from back then. It says, this is just stats. I gave his stats from playing in the Cuba Serie Nacional. But yeah, the Dodgers signed Yordan Alvarez for $2 million. That would have worked out for them very well if they hadn't traded him for Josh Fields and given the Astros a lot of this run they've had the last few years. I don't think they get to, you know, 5-6 straight ALCSs without Yordan Alvarez. And that one's always going to hurt a little bit. But you go back, what year? We got one more year to look back. Oh, 2017-2018. This one, again, not too much from there. You know, Jorbe Vivas and Eddie's Leonard were both signed in that year. And we know them because they were added to the 40-man roster last year before we knew that they weren't going to have to get added to the 40-man roster. Eddie's Leonard's currently number 10 on the Dodgers' top 30 prospects. And Jorbe Vivas is number 15. They're both already on the 40-man roster. Eddie's Leonard is 22. Jorbe Vivas is 21. But honestly, we've never heard of them playing you know, we've haven't heard or considered them to be somebody that's going to make an impact on the Dodgers in the next few years. So, you know, I don't know. Basically, if you remember the names that I've been talking about, the Dodgers have had a very mixed bag in the last few years from international signings. And this is without knowing, you know, what other teams' hit rate is on international signings. But I do think, you know, the Dodgers, and I talked about this with Jeff a few weeks ago, maybe, of, you know, Julio is now a Cy Young candidate, you know, a number one or number two, depending how you feel about him, pitcher in a rotation. And he came from the Dodgers international, you know, signing before there was, you know, more restrictions and everything else. But the Dodgers haven't had somebody come through on the pitching side from any of these international signings. And I don't know, you know, most of the times the main guys they sign are position players. And I'm not sure if that's something like, is that by design? Is that something they're trying to do? Is that something that maybe they don't, I don't know. It would be cool to, maybe we'll have to try and find somebody to talk to from the Dodgers scouting to see if that is by design. Because you look at the Dodgers top 30 prospects and you just look at the pitchers and you got Bobby Miller, Ryan Pepiot, Gavin Stone, Landon Neck, Nick Nastrini, Maddox Bruns, Ronan Kopp, Nick Frosso. You got Carlos Duran, who you got Kyle Hurt, Emmett Sheehan, Edgardo Henriquez, Michael Grove, and then Peter Hubick. Almost all of those guys are guys that were drafted. Edgardo Henriquez was signed in the 2018-2019 international signing period. And then you got Carlos Duran, who was signed in March 2018 as well. But other than those are only two guys. The rest of the guys are all signed or drafted guys. And even, you know, going through, you got more position players. You got Cartaya, you got Jose Ramos, and you got Eddie Leonard. You got three in the top 10 that are from the international signings. And then in the next, you got Jordi Vivas, Yainer Fernandez, Jesus Galiz Woodman. You know, you got more in the back 30 in terms of position players. So I would like to know, is that something the Dodgers prioritize in terms of going for position players in the international signing and pitchers from, you know, the U.S.? Is that something that they go for? Because right away I think of the Astros, and you know, the Astros have been able to have this run in the American League, you know, not counting 2017, and if you want to discredit any of the other years because of things you believe that haven't been necessarily proven or that they haven't been punished for. But they were able to let go Justin Verlander this past offseason because of guys like Christian Javier, because of guys like, who's the other one? The lefty, forgetting, Framber Valdez. Those guys have all come from international signing, and they weren't like big international signings. They were, you know, Framber Valdez was signed for $10,000 bonus, and you know, he went through and he was signed in 2015, and now he's, you know, a little bit older, obviously. And maybe that's a matter. Maybe these guys don't start developing until they're a little bit older. Maybe some of these guys at the Dodgers sign won't start developing until they're a little bit older. But it is interesting, and maybe something, maybe we can try to get an answer to, of do the Dodgers have priorities? Do they have, you know, ways they go about the international signings and drafting? Do they have preferences? Because it seems like most of the time that's what happens. Also, I mean, a lot of these times, in these prospect rankings, there is a lot more position players. I mean, if you look at the top 10 position players this year from MLB Pipeline, there's only two pitchers in those, one from Cuba and one from Korea. And then if you go 11 to 20, there's no pitchers from 11 to 20. And then 21 to 30, there's no pitchers. And then you go 31 to 40, and there's one pitcher. And then you go 40 to 50, and there's three pitchers. So there's not a lot of pitchers in general, But, you know, the Dodgers scouts haven't hit in a while in terms of finding, you know, diamond in the rough. You know, Julio was found because they went to go look at Puig and then they found Julio. We haven't heard of that before. And maybe, you know, a couple of these guys that signed for cheap that are in the Dodgers top 30, maybe they'll work out. Maybe there's guys coming that'll work out. But it does seem like the Dodgers international scouts haven't hit in a while. And that is interesting just for the fact that we've, you know, the Dodgers have been, for years now, they've been able to find players and internationally and bring them over and, you know, have success. And they haven't necessarily had that on the pitching side. And even on the player side, you know, we've seen guys come up. A lot of them have actually been traded. You know, Yusno Diaz, Kiber Ruiz, those guys were traded. We'll see Cartaya. You know, we'll probably see Jose Ramos soon. But, you know, there's not a lot of other guys that have come through. So that might be somewhere where the Dodgers reevaluate. I don't know. Maybe unless we get an influx from these last 3 or 4 signing periods, and the influx of those guys start developing as they get, you know, 19, 20, 21, whatever the case is. So all in all, we'll see. That's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen. Check out Locked On MLB Prospects with host Lindsey Crosby. He's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. Free and available wherever you get podcasts, which is also how we are. Free and available wherever you get podcasts. If you search for Locked On Dodgers, which is how you can find us on Twitter and Instagram, Locked On Dodgers. You can get a hold of us on there. You can get a hold of us individually. I'm at Vince Amperio. Jeff is at Snydog. DMs are open on all those accounts. You can also get a hold of us via email, lockedondodgers@gmail.com, or via voicemail text at 323-863-5625. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. To your smart device, play podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.